It's always good to be together, and we've had quite a week here on God Is. This week, we have covered a number of verses in John chapter 1. We started the week with verses 4 and 5, and then came down to verses 6 through 11 yesterday. Today, I want to reflect with you on John 1, verses 12 and 13. When we left off yesterday, Jesus had been rejected. But verses 12 and 13 of John chapter 1 tell a different story. Jesus is also received. So too, you can reject Jesus, or you can receive Jesus. What will you do? I'm proposing to you that you've got a decision to make, and I want to invite you to make that decision to receive Jesus this Christmas. Let me also say that for you listening who have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior from sin, you Christians who listen, this Christmas is an excellent time in your life to press on into greater spiritual maturity. It is not that we just receive Jesus one time, a kind of one-off event, and that's where our relationship with Him begins and ends. No. The Lord Jesus demands more from us as our Master. By way of following Him as His disciple every day, we want to practice our faith in such a way so as to know Him more sincerely and to believe Him more deeply. To quote a chorus about knowing Jesus that I just love to sing, "Oh, I want to know you more. Deep within my soul, I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you more." If you can listen to Steve Green sing that, please do. It will be a great encouragement to you this weekend. And so this broadcast is not only directed to the person who has yet to believe in Jesus, but it is also directed to you who do believe, but who need encouragement to believe Jesus more. Now let's get to the Bible. John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. Let me read this for you. John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." In these two verses, we see exactly what I have been saying. Jesus is received. In verses 10 and 11, Jesus is rejected, but in verses 12 and 13, Jesus is received. In fact, the word many indicates that lots of people, plural, received Jesus. They accepted that Jesus was who he said he was, God in human flesh, and they began to follow him. Later in this chapter, we learn the specific names of some of his followers. We'll get to that. But when we peer into verse 12, I want you to understand that the word received actually has a deep meaning. As always, I am depending on the Greek text. The New Testament is originally written in Greek, and so I am constantly studying the original language to know what the Bible means. The Greek word here for received means to take hold of, to obtain, to grasp. To receive Jesus then and now means that we take hold of him, we obtain him, we grasp Jesus. I love this word because it gives me a personal and intimate word picture. It's not that I just sort of stand back from Jesus and look at him from a distance, giving him some sort of intellectual, brainy agreement. No, he engages me. I push my whole spiritual and physical being into him. By taking hold of him, I obtain the Christ, and he enables me to grasp him for who he is. Being a Jesus follower is not passive. It is active. So that this word received has meaning, deep meaning. This is what receiving Jesus means for us. And then, skipping ahead a little bit, we have the phrase, "those who believe in his name." That's important. In particular, note here the little word "in." The word "believe" is a key word in John's writing, and we'll see it again and again the more we read his gospel. And when we read "believe," we also get with it a preposition, such as here. Believe in. It's not just that we believe, kind of floating some faith around out there, hoping it sticks to Jesus. No, we believe specifically in his name. And then what does the Bible mean by his name? Well, the name of Jesus is who Jesus is. All that Jesus is. His wholeness, his fullness, his completeness. This is who we believe in. And remember what I have been saying. Jesus is God, so that when we believe in his name, then we believe in God. All that Jesus is and does, we believe. J. Vernon McGee over at Through the Bible has this fitting analogy. He writes, "You must believe in Jesus Christ." Let me illustrate with a chair. I'm standing beside a chair, and I believe it'll hold me up. But it is not holding me up. Why? Because I have only head knowledge. I just say, yes, it'll hold me up. Now suppose I believe into the chair by sitting in it. See what I mean? I'm committing my entire weight to it. It is holding me up. Is Christ holding you up? Is he your Savior? It is not a question of standing to the side and saying, oh yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. The question is, have you trusted him? Have you believed into him? Are you resting in him? End of McGee's writing. I wholeheartedly agree. This is what John means by those who believe in his name. Now, before I say more, let me just reread John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13 to make sure you're still with me. I am aware this is the end of the week and you might be very tired, but let's finish strong. John 1, 12 to 13 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So those people who receive Jesus and those who believe in his name, Jesus then gives us the right to become children of God. Wow. Did you know this? If you will receive Jesus and if you will believe in his name, then you will become a child of God. If you have received Jesus and if you do believe in his name, then you are a child of God. You are God's daughter. You are God's son. And notice that you are not born as a child of God by blood or by the flesh or by your own will, but you are a child of God by God. What does this mean? Simply put, blood is our ethnicity. What is your ethnicity? I know what mine is and you know what yours is. All races and ethnicities are equal before God. No race has any advantage over any other race as far as God is concerned. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people understood this in America today? And so none of us becomes a child of God because of our ethnicity. Whatever your ethnicity is, it gives you no advantage in being a child of God. Second, our flesh is what we want. Our flesh is so fickle anyway. Oh, today I want to follow Jesus, but tomorrow I do not. I follow Jesus when it is popular, but I drop him when it is not popular. No, we're not made children of God. We do not have the right to become children of God because of our flesh. And thirdly, we do not become children of God because of the will of man. There is no human design to follow on how to become a child of God. I can even imagine that being a book title in the self-help section of your local Barnes & Noble or a bestseller on Amazon.com. But the Apostle John is writing, this is not how you become a child of God. Jesus gives us God's design for becoming a son or daughter of God. Notice the order. God presents his design to us, not the other way around. If you want to have the right to become a child of God your way, then you are not a child of God. What makes any of us a child of God is Jesus. He does this in us. It's his way. I hope this is clear. If not, you can always pop me an email and ask your questions. Now, I'll be honest. Verses 12 and 13 offer us far more than we have time to discover today. This is when time limits are really not helpful. It's my desire to say much more about these verses, and in particular the phrase, the right to become children of God. But I'm looking over at that big clock, and the seconds are tick, tick, ticking away. tick-tock goes the clock. And so we'll have to leave John's gospel here for the weekend. Now, when we come back together on Monday, we're going to plunge down deeper into the remainder of chapter 1. I encourage you to reread the whole chapter tomorrow or Sunday. Regularly, the weekends offer us a little more time so we can use it to learn more about Jesus Christ. That's what I call a great use of time. So take your Bible with you for coffee tomorrow, or read it on the train or plane. Read it while you wait for your kids. Soak in John 1 while you laze around the apartment. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. And if something I've said today or this week has captured your attention, drop me an email and tell me about it. My address is mark@markaswallow.com. Let me spell that for you. mark@markaswallow.com. And please be in a Bible-believing church this weekend. Find a church that teaches and practices the gospel. And what is the gospel? Jesus Christ has died for our sins. He has been resurrected from the dead, so that all who believe in him by faith will be saved from our sins. And we will also be brought back from the dead to live with God forever. This is the gospel. And you and your family want to find a church that teaches the gospel, that practices it and lives it. Boy, I'm having trouble talking as we come to the end of Friday. These churches do exist, but so do churches that do not live the truth of the gospel. So be discerning and wise. And then be back with me here on Monday as we continue to learn that in Jesus, God is explained.